It's now 7 minutes past 10, and I'm joined by a group of wonderful people, musicians mostly, well, musicians all, but Paula Jameson is here as a representative of the Ladies' Library of Kalamazoo. We also have horn player Ron Chase and pianist extraordinaire Barbara Hong. It's another program from the Arcadia Winds, a collective of friends and musicians who challenge themselves with beautiful pieces of music and create a concert season and hold it at the Ladies' Library. And I was lucky enough to join you guys last May for a program with the Gounod Petite Symphonie. And this looks to be a really terrific program, too. The Brahms Trio for horn and piano and violin, the Mio Suite for violin, clarinet, and piano, and finally a divertissement for double wind quintet by Émile Bernard. As the perhaps main organizer, Ron, why don't you talk about the series? Is this the beginning of the concert season for you?
Yes, it is. This is the first of four concerts. The dates are this coming Friday, the 11th, and we'll have one at the end of January on the 27th, middle of March on the 17th, and the middle of May on, I've forgotten the date for that, but there's plenty of advertising that'll be out there.
And the Ladies' Library is the venue for all four
concerts.
Yes, it
is. Yes, it is.
You've gotten quite accustomed to that beautiful venue.
Yes, this would be our third year, and we are continuously just basically amazed at the amount of cooperation that we get from the ladies. Just a delightful experience.
Paula, would you speak to that from your perspective as a board member of the Ladies' Library?
Of course. Well, thank you for having us. Well, we love having them. This is such a perfect utilization of our upstairs auditorium, which, as some people know, the building was built in 1878, 1879, and this auditorium was part of the original layout of the building. And I think we've made it more acoustically friendly than it used to be. We did an upgrade of the building a few years back. And I mean, as a, of course, biased person, I think what gets played there just sparkles in the building. It's really a lovely space. So, yes, we're tickled to have you back.
And as it was a space always intended to be filled with live events, it's good to see more live events happening there than maybe in years past?
Yes, very much so. And part of the reason it's literally more accessible. When we upgraded the building, we made it handicap accessible, as they say. So we have an elevator and we have accessible restrooms. So it's a much more friendly building for the community at large than it was at one point.
Well, let's get started by talking about the first work on the program, one of the great pieces of chamber music of all time, written by Johannes Brahms. Ron, you're a horn player, but it doesn't quite make clear whether you get to play this part, this piece or not.
Oh, yes.
You're the soloist.
I'm the soloist,
oh,
yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, yes.
Well, this must be a sort of a bucket list.
It is at the very top of a bucket list, yes. Horn players don't have the advantages of pianists or violinists with wonderful literature to in abound. We kind of have to pick and choose the things that we really look at as extremely good literature for the horn. And the Brahms Horn Trio is right on the top of the list.
How long have you played it?
I've played it. This, quite honestly, will be the fifth time I've performed it. And the first time was way back in my early life when I was playing the horn many, many, many years ago before I took a 45-year break. And then I've played it three times here in Kalamazoo before.
Well, what does the piece mean to you now after 45 years?
It means that I am playing music that I absolutely love. And as I play it, I am just hoping almost measure by measure that I am doing honor to Brahms.
Why don't we plunge right in and hear the opening movement? of the Brahms Horn Trio. It's on the program, opening the program this Friday, with a program beginning at 7:30?
8 o'clock.
8 p.m.
Yes.
Sorry, 8 p.m. at the Ladies' Library. Ron Chase will be the horn player. Tell me the other two musicians.
The other two musicians are Joanna Steinhauser on violin. She is the concertmaster of the Kalamazoo Philharmonia Orchestra and a very active violinist in the Kalamazoo area. And my colleague right here, Barbara Hong on piano, who has been doing wonderful service for the Arcadia Quintet and other groups for many years.
Well, we'll get her perspective on the horn trio after we hear the first movement. We're listening to the Horn Trio, Opus 40 by Johannes Brahms, with Ron Chase, who is a horn player, Barbara Hong, pianist, and Paula Jameson, a fine recorder player, but here as the representative from the Ladies' Library of Kalamazoo. The Trio for Violin, Horn, and Piano by Brahms opens a concert by the Arcadia Winds on Friday night at 8 p.m. in the Ladies' Library. If you were listening closely, you may have noticed something different about the recording we heard, either with the piano, the violin, and maybe especially with the horn. That was a natural horn. And from there, I'm going to let you take it away and explain some things about horn and Johannes Brahms.
The natural horn, or in German terminology, Waldhorn, was the horn that was prevalent in the days of Mozart and early Beethoven. There were no valves. The horn was just simply a what looked like a hunting horn, which you would put different crooks in to change different keys of it. And the only notes that it would actually play openly would be the notes of the normal overtone series. And in order to play other notes, you would have to adjust your right hand in the bell of the horn and stop it down or open it up in order to get the pitches that were not part of that overtone series. It's a very difficult horn to play because you have to match all of those different timbres of open and stopped to make it all sound the same. That horn basically started going out of favor in the early 1800s when people started learning how to put valves on horns and experimented around with the various pitches that they could get with valves. And by the time Brahms wrote the Horn Trio in 1865, the valved horn was pretty much the one in vogue. So by specifically asking for a Waldhorn, he was basically going back 60 or 70 years in time. A little bit unusual. But Brahms wanted to do that, I guess, for two reasons, as I understand it. Number one, he liked the sound of the Waldhorn. It has a slightly different sound to it than a valved horn. And he was writing this right after his mother had died, and he was feeling very nostalgic. And he wanted to kind of go back to thoughts of his youth. And he had actually played a Waldhorn, and his father was a true Waldhorn player back when he was young. And he was just kind of recalling those days.
Brahms had left home at age 16 or so, I think, as a young piano soloist and accompanist for a Hungarian violinist on a tour, and so he left home quite early, you know, and at this point in his life probably was quite nostalgic. I mean, it must have seemed a very long time ago when he lived with his mother. And
yes, yes. But apparently he had a very, very strong feeling about her, and it had lasted through his life.
Yeah. Have you ever, do you know the instrument called the theremin?
The little pole that you electronically kind of move your hand around.
Yeah. Is that,
yes.
It popped into my mind when you said you have to adjust your hand inside the bell of the horn in order to change pitch. And I thought, I remember trying the theremin and failing miserably. As my hand wavered, the pitch just went all over. There was no way I had to figure it out. But it sounds kind of similar. You have to use hand positions.
Yes. I think the theremin is a little less forgiving than a horn, though. Yeah, I've never actually worked seriously on playing a valveless horn. But every once in a while, I have tried it out just to see what it's like by just using my horn and not pressing down any valves. And it's very, very difficult. I have extreme admiration for people who can make a valved horn sound pretty much like a valved horn.
Hmm. Let me talk to Barbara. Barbara Hong is the pianist for this Brahms, as well as the piece that follows by Darius Milhaud. I imagine Ron said this was the fifth time he'd performed this piece. Have you performed this before, too?
Yes, Ron and I have done it once before. Even so, it's taking a lot of work to put it back together again. I think it's full of physical challenges for the pianist, for and for everybody else, and certainly musical challenges, yes. One thing that I complain about regularly at rehearsals is that the Brahms wrote this in E-flat major for the convenience of the horn. But the rest of us get stuck playing things like A-flat minor with that's actually seven flats. And, you know, a pianist, violin, of course, a violinist wants to play in sharp keys, but you know, even for me, trying to remember that there's an F flat and a C flat is quite challenging. You know, I have to drill and drill to remind myself that this is what he wants. And, you know, people will sometimes say, well, why did he write it in seven flats instead of, say, putting it into a G sharp minor? I don't think there's any really good answer there except for the fact that he meant to stay logically connected to E-flat. And that's a question I might have for Ron. Why E-flat? What's it do for the horn? Why are the rest of us so working so hard to make you spectacular?
a common pianist's lament, I think.
Well, I'm not 100% sure how to answer that. With a Waldhorn, you can actually change keys by changing the length of a little key crook, so to speak. And typically, a horn player in their studio has hanging on their wall all kinds of these little curly Q crooks that you can put in for different keys. I guess basically E-flat would probably be one of the most common keys. Mozart used that a lot, for instance. And so I guess Brahms was just kind of grooved into E-flat for some reason.
It's a perfectly nice key. Do you have a favorite movement in the four movement horn trio, Barbara?
Do I have a favorite movement? Mm-hmm. The first one is just beautiful. It's just gorgeous. The second movement is a scherzo, and that is energetic and fun to play. The others are also attractive, but maybe from my mechanical point of view, a bit scary. So I enjoy one and two maybe more than the other two.
And how does he balance the string sound, which is strong, but maybe not as strong as a brass sound? I think that sounds a bit tricky when it comes to writing a piece.
The horn, yes, can overpower a violin fairly easily. And it's basically up to the horn player to just listen and make sure that he is balancing the sound with everybody else. It's just a matter of people listening to each other and making sure that they're all on the same scale, so to speak.
You mentioned Joanna Steinhauser is the violinist, and that she's the concertmaster of the Kalamazoo Philharmonia.
And yes.
Is she also a teacher or on faculty?
She does teaching at Kalamazoo College, and she takes on private students. I don't know exactly what her schedule is, but those are the things that I know of.
Have you worked with her before?
I have not, no. It's turning out to be a wonderful experience, actually.
Oh, really? How has the rehearsal process gone? How many weeks have you given yourself?
We have maybe had about 7 rehearsals or something, like somewhere around there. We rehearse on Wednesday morning, so we started a while back, and we've been meeting every Wednesday morning. And since we can trade the clarinet for the horn and then practice the mio also, we kind of do it together.
Would that be Mike Pitkus joining you on the clarinet piece, the Darius mio piece? Back to you, Barbara. Why don't you introduce the piece as you see it, and we'll listen to the opening.
You're speaking of the mio piece, right?
Yes, Darius mio.
Darius Milo. This is a piece written in 1936, but you could very well imagine it coming out of his thoughts and his thinking in the 1920s. He went to Brazil in 1917 to 1919 as a secretary to the French ambassador to Brazil. And this ambassador happened to be a poet. And the two of them, besides their diplomatic duties, put together, it was an opera that they did in Brazil. So that started their connection, their working together. When Mio got back to France, he fell in with a group of people that he found congenial called Les Six, the Six Composers. And what they all had in common was they were absolutely against this great chromatic sentimental music of Wagner. And of course, in France at that time, getting out of the First World War, Germans were not very popular at that time anyway. And they were also against the Impressionist movement. So they came up with a style of music that's rather objective, rather full of satire, included some American jazz that they were just getting exposed to, and in Mio's case, Brazilian folk tunes, samba rhythms, all kinds of things. So they're delightful, they're playful, and they're full of whistle or singable tunes.
That's one of the best introductions to early 20th century music I've heard. You must be a scholar.
Well, I'm a musicologist, yes.
And you're performing the suite for piano, violin, and clarinet on Friday.
What's interesting about the piece is the fact that there are a couple of movements in this suite where the piano falls back and just the clarinet and violin are playing along, poking each other, I would say, provoking each other.
Well, you have had a lot to do in the Brahms, so maybe it's not so bad to step back during the mio.
Well, the mio has a lot of what he calls wrong note technique. So when you hear this, you think, did he make a mistake there? No, this is what he wanted. It's a rather pointing the tongue out at traditional people who say it has to all be in the same chord.
Thank you.
Two movements there from the suite for violin, clarinet, and piano by Darius Milhaud. And it's the second work on the program this Friday at the Ladies' Library in downtown Kalamazoo. It's by the Arcadia Winds and Friends. Barbara Hong is the pianist for the work. She's here in the studio today, as well as horn player Ron Chase and Paula Jameson. Maybe you could talk a little bit, Paula, about the Ladies' Library Association, because the building wouldn't continue to run or even exist without the Ladies' Library Association.
The Ladies' Library Association is a nonprofit women's organization. It's actually been in existence since 1852, and originally their mission was to create what was the first library in this part of the state. And in those days, that was a membership library. This was before the days of public libraries. And so they had collected about 3,500 books, and they moved around from pillar to post for years, also taking up some other educational and charitable missions along the way. And finally, they were able to build the building that we all know, that we are hosting the Arcadia Quintet in. But they also, our mission includes education, particularly for women and children. We have a big project every year called Books for Babies, and we distribute books through 25 different agencies around the community for infants and toddlers. And coming up tomorrow night, we participate in the Great Grown-Up Spelling Bee, which netted us last year over 900 books, which we also distributed through Books for Babies. So we're a very active group. We have just under 200 members.
And this weekend, besides the concert by Arcadia Winds, you have some other events going on.
Yes, this weekend is our holiday festival weekend. It's the holiday parade on Saturday downtown. So we're open on Friday from 9 until 2. We have a holiday bazaar, kind of a flea market, and that always brings in a lot of people. We serve lunch. We serve our famous cinnamon rolls and soup. And then Saturday, we're open again from 9 until 2. And actually, if you come up to the second floor of the Ladies' Library, you get a great view of the parade. And you can get building tours, so you can learn more.
Right. You know, Paula, in very late September or maybe the first week of October, I walked by the Ladies' Library on Park Street, and I saw a couple of ladies on the steps dressed in the most exquisite 1920s sort of costumes.
Yes.
What event was that?
You know, offhand, I don't remember which event, but that's been one of the things we've started to do the last few years, is we have a couple of women who are members who are really knowledgeable about historic costume. And some of us like to get dressed up. So people wear various period costumes. And when we do New Year's Fest, for example, we have people that have these spectacular 19th century dresses with bustles. And I mean, they can't get into them by themselves. They have to have somebody help, you know, with corsets and getting laced up and the whole kit and caboodle. So it's really adds a lot to the look of the place. Oh, and I think it was the Victorian tea probably people were dressed up for. Yes.
It was certainly a nice surprise, you know, as walking down the street. The Ladies' Library, for those who don't know, is on Park Street.
Yes.
As on the corner of Lovell and Park.
Lovell and Park, yes. And we're also lucky because we now have our own parking lot, too, just south of the Ladies' Library across Lovell. There is a parking lot which has a big Ladies' Library Association sign, but you can park there.
Again, the concert to see the Arcadia Winds and Friends is at 8 o'clock on Friday at the Ladies' Library. Ron, who else is involved in the program? Maybe you could tell us a list of musicians.
Okay, we are doubling up the Arcadia Woodwind Quintet. And among the musicians from the quintet, our flutist is Bobby Coleman. And she will be joined by Christine Griffith, who is a principal flute in the Kalamazoo Philharmonia and the Kalamazoo Concert Band. Wendy Mazur, our quintet oboist, will be joined by Holly Tracy, who is a student of Wendy's. And Mike Petkus, our clarinet, will be joined by Marcia Working, who is a clarinetist also in the Kalamazoo Concert Band. Bassoonist from the quintet, Judy Belland, will be joined by Christine Kvarnberg, who plays in the Philharmonia and the Kalamazoo Concert Band, and in another woodwind quintet in town called Quintet Ovein. And I will be joined by Jan Solberg, who plays along with me in the Philharmonia Orchestra and also in the Quintet Ovein. So there are 10 people, all of us really quite good friends amongst each other, and that's our Bernard group.
The Bernard group. That takes us to the final movement or the final piece on the program. You will have to tell me a little backstory on this piece I've never heard of before.
I had not heard of it either until it was presented to me as a repertoire piece about 3 years ago by a summer workshop I go to every year. Emil Bernard was an organist. He played around the Paris area apparently for about 10 years. He was the organist in the Notre Dame de Champs Cathedral. And he wrote maybe 45 or 50 compositions, most all of which has sort of disappeared. There are two or three of them that apparently are occasionally performed that I have never heard of before. And the divertissement for Ten Winds I had never heard of before until it was presented as a repertoire piece. I listened to it, I chose to play it, and when I started playing it, it just practically fell off my chair. It was just so good. And the other nine people that were in that workshop did the same thing. As a matter of fact, we liked it so well that we requested that we do it again the next year. That's what they thought of it. It was an absolutely delightful composition.
Right. It's wonderful to find pieces that deserve and just need to be
right,
heard again.
And that's one of the things we like to do also in our group. Bernard was born in the 1840s, and he died about 1902 or 2003, somewhere around there. So he was kind of in the late Romantic era. And along with Paul Taffanel and late Charles Gounod, kind of lightened things up substantially from the Germanic tradition of Wagner and Bruckner and those guys. And you can certainly hear it. You can almost put a big smile on your face and just simply sit back and enjoy it when you start hearing it. The musicians love to come and practice it, as a matter of fact. So that's the Bernard. It's a true gem out there amongst pieces of a pretty obscure composer.
Well, I want to thank Paula Jameson, Ron Chase, and Barbara Hong for coming to WMUK and previewing this concert on Friday night. I'm going to go around the room and ask for final thoughts or any way you want to close the interview. We'll start with you, Paula.
Well, thank you, Kara. I just want to remind everyone that Friday night at the Ladies' Library, the Arcadia Woodwind Quintet will be there. Doors will open at 7:30 for concert at 8. And Friday during the day and Saturday during the day at the Ladies' Library will be the Holiday Bazaar. So come for lunch, come to shop.
Okay, thanks, Paula. Ron?
Yes, come Friday. I hope there is a good turnout. The music is diverse. All the three compositions are excellent. The seats are comfortable.
It's pay what you want.
And the auditorium is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just a great combination.
And you have no, you're not taking admission at the door?
There is no admission, no. Yeah. We request that if people want to donate something, you know, then certainly. But the program is free.
And Barbara?
Oh, I guess I just want to say we musicians all have a good time playing this. And I hope our pleasure in this music comes through to the audience. And we look at each other during rehearsal and we say, well, we got some more work to do here. And we think, how much are you paying us? No, there's no pay. There is no status promotion here. It's all because we simply enjoy doing this.
Barbara, Ron, and Paula, thank you so much. Let's hear some music by Emil Bernard.